You've seen these little signs out there, haven't you? We'll work for food. Bankrupt. No money. Who's gone? Some of you here this morning feel like you're very close to holding up a sign like this. Your bank account tells you that you're running out of money. There's cutbacks at work. No jobs to be found. Unemployment rate is what? 7.6 and climbing. I was reading some statistics and some trends, and it's some experts say that it will reach 9% by the end of this year. We'll work for food. Some of you are hurting. Some of you made bad choices, either in the stock market or the real estate market, or you know, in investments or what have you, and you've lost money. I mean, I don't know how many of you have a 401k or had a 401k and has been in a rapid descent, you know, for the past 18 months or so. A lot of people. Some of you are probably even bankrupt. But the story of the prodigal son is how God wants to give those who are financially bankrupt a fresh start. Amen. That God is able to embrace. I love the story there of the prodigal son who, after coming to his senses, began going back, and he started, you know, he had rehearsed his little prayer, right? Oh, when I go back, I'm going to tell my father, Father, I have sinned against you know, heaven and against you. I'm no longer. And his father just cut him off. Did you notice that? And embraced him and kissed him. And if you are hurting financially speaking here this morning, if you feel like you're ready to hold up a sign that says, I will work for food, I'm here to tell you that God wants to embrace you and kiss you and provide for you. Amen. Are you going to trust him? Yes. Are you going to trust him? In the Bible, we find the story of Job. Now, you say, well, you know, this guy made some bad choices, right? And he became bankrupt or worked for food because of his bad choices. But did you know there was a righteous man in the Bible called Job? The Bible says he was righteous. No fault in him. And Satan said, oh, wait a minute. The reason this guy doesn't have any faults and he loves God much is because you're surrounding him with all these blessings. I mean, the Bible says this was a wealthy man. He had lots of money and lots of family and lots of sons and lots of possessions. And he had everything that a person could want. And all of a sudden, because of trials and tribulations on his life, he became poor, bankrupt overnight. He lost it all. So I'm not saying that, you know, if you've lost it all because of your bad choices. Sometimes this just happens. Now, some of you probably made some bad choices. Other of you said, I had nothing to do with this. I had nothing to do with my layoff. I was doing my job. I loved my job. I wanted to stay there. You know, I was running my business. My business was going well, and now it's not. You know, there's sometimes that we face situations, but the question that I have for you is, what are you going to do? What am I going to do when we face those situations? The prodigal son went far away, and some of us sometimes go far away. Isn't that the truth? Right? I mean, we become, especially when we're talking about finances and lack of money or bankruptcy, whatever the case may be, we want to hide. We don't want people to know. We don't want people to ask. We don't want people to say, and so we hide. And that is the worst mistake that we can make. God wants us to run to him. He wants to embrace us. He wants to cover us. He wants to strengthen us. He wants to dress us. He wants to be our provider. Are we going to trust him? Am I speaking to anybody here this morning? Yeah. Listen to what the psalmist said. The psalmist said this: my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Would you say portion with me? Say portion. God is your portion. God is your sustenance. God is your provider. God is the one who takes care of you. See, the problem is that we think, and we were talking about pride earlier this morning in the Bible study, and the problem with us is that sometimes we think it's us, right? When things are going well and money's flowing and the business is going great, we think, oh my gosh, you know, I'm doing pretty well for myself here, right? Come on now. Things are rosy. Oh man, I'm doing good. You know, being in the hospital last week taught me how frail life is and how things can change in an instant. Here I am getting up at 5 in the morning, eating right, going to work out 6 days a week, drinking lots of water and, you know, taking care of myself, and all of a sudden, boom, right? In a hospital. What are you going to do when you find yourself in this situation? You can keep trying to do it on your own, or you can come to your senses and say, I can go to my Father. I can go to my Father. So some of us are just financially bankrupt, and God wants to give us a fresh start. Now, the story here, too, is that this young man was morally bankrupt. Right? What did he do with his money? He wasted in what? What does the word say? In wild living, right? And wild. Hey, listen, the Bible could have said there, and he spent his money. But it doesn't say that. It was very specific. He spent his money wild living. Anything goes. And how many of us fall in that category sometimes? And so he was saying, I will work for acceptance. I don't know. I've been so bad. I've done so many wrong things. I don't know if my Father will accept me. Not only did he blow his Father's money, right? He blew it in wild living. But then he went and started working for a foreigner, which was, you know, a taboo during those times. Not only was he working for a foreigner, he was working with what? With pigs. Now listen, you got to remember the audience here. Who's Jesus talking to? All right? Working with, that is the lowest of the low. Working with pigs. Listen, this young man was morally bankrupt. Not only was he financially bankrupt, he was morally bankrupt. He was saying, I will work for acceptance. I'm going to go back and I'm going to tell my dad, look, I'll work as one of your hired men. Where are you this morning? What have you done? What secrets do you have? What things have you been hiding for years and years and years? Those sins of the past that you think, you know, are back there and have been haunting you for so long. Some of us are morally bankrupt. There's a story in the Bible, King David. You remember that name, King David? Yes. King David, the Bible says, had his heart was according to God's own heart. I mean, he was very close in fellowship with God. Yet one day, in a moment of weakness, while the army was out doing what they were supposed to be doing, and he decided to take a day off. Now listen, I'm for taking days off as much as the next guy, but just make sure that you know what you're doing with your day off, right? And so he took the day off. Number one, he was not supposed to be taking that day off. He was supposed to be out in battle with his army. And he said, you know, no, the army's fine. They'll be able to handle it, so I'm going to stay home. And he did stay home, and he started perusing through his palace. And out in the terrace, and out, you know, when he was out in the terrace, he saw a woman bathing. A man after God's own heart. And he saw this woman bathing, and he called for her, and he committed adultery. Morally bankrupt. Morally bankrupt. He committed adultery. But you know, there's consequences to our sins, aren't they? Say, there's a consequence to my sin. And the consequence to his sin was that 9 months later, right? Oops. Right? There's a baby on the way. There's a baby on the way. And so he decided, okay, I got to do something here, right? So he called for the lady's husband, and said, you know, he tried to get him to sleep with her, and he wouldn't, because he was a faithful man who knew he needed to be out there in the field fighting with his brothers. And he said, no, I can't do this. How can I come in here and drink and eat and sleep with my wife while my brothers are out there in the battlefield? And David got so frustrated and so incensed by this man's actions that he took him and he sent for him, gave him a letter and say, to give to the general, to put him in the front lines where he was killed. Morally bankrupt. King David became an adulterer, a conspirator to commit murder, and a murderer. Now, some of you are saying, whew, I'm not that bad, right? Thank God. But how's our thought life? Jesus said, if you look at a woman with lust, you're already adulterer, you know, if you've committed adultery already. Same for the ladies, right? You said, I'm not a murderer, but the Bible says if you get angry at your brother or sister, you've become a murderer. This young man decided, you know what? I'm going to go back to my father, and I will work for acceptance. How many of you are probably here sitting this morning and saying, you know, I have the money thing all taken care of. I'm fine. I'm not financially bankrupt. But you're saying, I am morally bankrupt. What people see on the outside is nothing but a facade. I am struggling with so many things. But you know what? I am willing to work for acceptance. If you are in this camp, God wants to give you a fresh start too. God wants to pick you up and hug you and embrace you and kiss you and welcome you to his home, where you and I belong. Yet there's another kind of people who are probably here this morning. Who are, you probably okay financially speaking, okay morally speaking, so to speak, but you are spiritually bankrupt. Spiritually bankrupt. And you're saying, I have no life. You know, I have money, and I have possessions, and I have prestige, and I have so many. I have friends, I have family, but there's an emptiness inside that cannot be filled. And I'm willing to work for life. I feel dead spiritually speaking. I sing and the songs don't make sense to me. I pray and I feel like no one's there. I read scripture and it's completely close to me. I try to come to church and do the right thing and I don't feel anything. I'm willing to work for life. And some of you are searching, right? Some of you have done very well for yourself, and you have great, but you are so far away from God, doing your own thing, And from time to time, you would hear the voice of the Father saying, come, come, I want to give you more. I've given you so much, but I want to give you even more. I want to give you that peace that you're looking for. I want to give you that comfort that you're looking for. I want to give you that love that you're seeking. You don't have to work for it. Isn't it sad? Isn't it sad that we have a loving Father, right? That's the story. We have a loving Father who cares for us, who's given us everything that we want and need, who's there for us every step of the way, yet we're so far away. That through our words and our actions and our thoughts, constantly we turn our back and we'd rather stand in a street corner holding up a sign than to go back home and ask for forgiveness. This past week, a very, very sad story of a homeless man in Papano who, you know, it's been very, very cold. He died of, you know, hypothermia. It reminded me of a story I heard of a homeless person who had signs like this, you know, who was dressed not any better than I'm dressed right now and not smelling very good, going hungry and cold. And the homeless man died too in a winter night. And after they did all the arrangements and they were able to contact the family, they finally found the family. This guy was a very wealthy, wealthy individual who died on the streets as a homeless man. He had made some mistakes in his life and he had messed up with, you know, he had gotten messed up with drugs and alcohol that threw him out in the street. And he died basically holding up a sign, and yet he was a very, very wealthy individual. We find a story in the scriptures of a man named Peter. You remember Peter? Yeah, I love scripture because it doesn't sugarcoat anything, right? I mean, sometimes I think about this, and I read some of these stories, and I say, you know, if I was the writers or if I was God, I would probably leave that one out. I would probably leave the David and Bathsheba stuff out, right? Right? But the Bible doesn't you know, it leaves it there for a reason. And the reason is that you and I are in the same boat. Peter, right? Very brave Peter, right? He was like a hot-blooded, you know, hot collar, you know, take no prisoners kind of guy, right? He was there constantly. And you know, he said, Jesus, I'm willing to die for you. Watch your words. All right, there's power in our words, right? There's great power in our words. There's power in our words to heal and power in our words to what? Destroy. There's power in our words to build up and to tear down. There's power in our words. And he says, Jesus, I am willing to go to the mat for you. And Jesus looked at him with love and compassion and says, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. Peter, did you know that you're going to deny me? Three times? No! Impossible! All these other fools probably would. Because they have no guts, right? They're not brave as brave as I am. I would never do that. Jesus looked at him with love and compassion. Peter, you are going to deny me. And the Bible says that Peter, you know, after Jesus was arrested, you know, he wanted to see what was going on and try to follow Jesus from afar. Because, of course, he didn't want to get arrested himself. But, you know, this is the same guy who was willing to die. And he denied Jesus. Can we go to the next slide there? Peter's struggle with sin, he lied. he told Jesus, I would never do this. How many of us lie? And how many of us deny Christ by our words and our actions? Spiritually bankrupt. It's a tough message to preach, right? I mean, it's not the best to preach. It's not the best to teach. Because we fall there, friends. Over and over again, we fall there. I fall there as much as you do. I'm not exempt. You know, I sometimes say things I shouldn't have said that. That doesn't bring honor and glory to God. Sometimes I react to something and, oh my goodness, you know, sometimes then I sit there in the quiet and I said, I shouldn't have reacted that way. Sometimes, you know, internally I don't say it and I don't react. But internally, I'm thinking, right? I'm thinking. And the thoughts are not what God would have me to think. And I'm saying it to myself at those times, I am willing to work for life. He struggled with the lies, but then in there was a look. The Bible says that after he denied Jesus, Jesus saw him and looked at him. And he knew, he remembered. Listen, it doesn't matter what you've done and what you've thought and what you've reacted, or it doesn't matter how far you are from the Father. God's look towards you is so tender and so loving and so caring. I know it's become a cliche. Especially in our circles, right? It's become a cliche. It's become a tagline. But this is so true. Jesus loves you. Do you understand that? Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves me. Jesus is saying, throw the sign out and come back to me because I love you. Don't rehearse your forgiveness, you know, speech or your forgiveness prayer. You don't have to rehearse it. I love that part of the story. You know, he's rehearsed it. He's going, oh, this is what I'm going to tell my dad. And as soon as he starts saying, the dad doesn't even let him finish. Hugs him. And that look meant this. The look meant that Jesus loved Peter. But Jesus asked Peter. Jesus loved Peter, but Jesus asked Peter later on, after he's resurrected, Peter, do you love me? And that's the question that I want to ask each and every one of us. It doesn't matter where we are. We could be, you know, spiritually bankrupt, or we could be morally bankrupt, or financially bankrupt. The question that Jesus is asking of us today is, do you love me? That word too has become a cliche, right? Right? That's become a cliche. Do you love me? Oh, of course I love you. Well, do something for me. Let me see your actions. Do you love Jesus here this morning? And if your answer is yes, then there has to be an action. There has to be an action to that word. Love is an active word. Now, we use it a lot, right? I love this food. I love this pizza. I love my pet. Oh, yeah, I love my kids and I love my wife too, right? Love, 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 love. But if there's no action to that word, it's meaningless, right? Some of you say, I love God and I love Christ, but there's no action behind it. You're far away. Oh, God knows in my heart that I love him. God doesn't want to see in your heart that you love him. God wants to see in your hands and in your feet and in your mouth and in the way you move and in the way... God wants to see action to that word. And so if you're saying, well, you know what? I'm willing to go to the mat. I'm willing. He doesn't want that. He wants you to just obey. The story here is, and we've been covering it, and God wants to give you a fresh start. And here's what I'm going to do. We're going to watch a little video here to close, but I'm going to put those who are willing to work for life and you are spiritually disconnected. Okay? Now, you may be a believer, but you're spiritually disconnected. Not all there. I want, after the video, for you to stand there. I want to pray with you. If you are morally bankrupt, I want you to stand here. I'll pray for you. And if you're going through some tough, tough economic situations, I want you to also stand here. Notice that I didn't put them, you know, because nobody has to know which of these three you fall under, okay? But if you need a fresh start, I want to pray with you. Let's watch this.
Boosted interest rates up to 18% as it battles against financial collapse. The move is designed to stabilize...
economic messages to win the support of undecided voters.
Pray with me, please. Lord, we thank you for fresh starts. And we thank you, Lord, that you are always there for us, even when we're not there for you. Lord, we realize that we've made some major, major blunders in our lives. Financial and moral and spiritual. But we know, we've heard your word here this morning, and we believe your word, that you want to give us a new start, a new beginning, that you want to give us a new life, that you want to be our provider and our healer. And so, Lord, we come to you asking for this. We want to come back home. We want to, Lord, come back home. In Jesus' name, amen. As the team sings this, here's what the Lord has really prompted me to do.